Welcome to Southern Living on Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Leslie Hunt, and I'm your volunteer broadcaster. I'll be reading today from the Southern Living magazine, the August 2026 edition, and I have got some great articles for you. So if you're ready, let's get going. I'm mostly in the seasons section, and that's where we're going to start today. Digging in is the comment that they make. The first article I'm going to read is Grow Like a Pro. Our author and garden expert Tanner Mitchell shares practical, no-fuss tips for keeping houseplants healthy in every season, and this was written by Cameron Beal. Nearly a decade after moving from Oregon to North Texas, Tanner Mitchell found himself missing something he couldn't quite replicate, the mountains and lush greenery of the Pacific Northwest. So he started small, filling his home with plants. It was kind of killing two birds with one stone, he says, about how decorating empty corners reconnected him with the West Coast beauty he missed. That quickly became a passion. Early on, I was killing plants and didn't know what I was doing, so I went down a rabbit hole of research, he says. Frustrated by conflicting online advice, he began studying horticulture and translating the concepts into everyday language. I would read college studies, then do my own experiments and relay my interpretations on social media, he says. That clarity struck a chord online. He and his wife, Erica, turned that momentum into a business selling plants. His first post on TikTok at Tanner the Planter, a tip for repotting, went viral. We realized that we had endless content to make, teaching and showing the problems we solve every day, Mitchell says. In his first book, For the Love of Houseplants, Caring for and Keeping Plants with Confidence, which was released earlier this year, he expands on that same philosophy, offering relatable growing information and practical takeaways. It's all very simple, he says. If you know just a couple of things, you can be successful. Here are some of his tips. Start planning for fall. Number one, bring them inside. In the South, we can grow a lot of indoor plants outside, especially on patios and in shaded areas, notes Mitchell. Keeping them outdoors during the spring and summer months helps them have the best growth. When temperatures dip below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, day or night, it's time to move them back into your home to avoid cold damage. Number two, don't repot them. The number one problem people have with indoor plants in the fall and winter is root rot from overwatering, he says. With less light, they need less water, so the soil stays wet longer, increasing fungal issues. Keeping them root-bound helps prevent this. When you have more roots than soil, there's naturally more oxygen in the soil. This combats and kills the fungus, he explains. Number three, wash them off. Rinse leaves thoroughly, including the backs, before bringing them in your home. This knocks off any critters and is also a great time to assess the health of your plants, he says. If you are interested in the author's book, you may find it on Amazon.com. The title, For the Love of Houseplants, by Tanner Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. Continuing in the season section, Good for You. Showing the Ropes is the title of our next article. This Dallas neuroscientist is empowering youth through her nonprofit boxing gym, and this was written by Samia Dorsey. At age 17, Amanda Alvarez convinced her mom to buy her dad a punching bag for Father's Day, a gift she secretly wanted for herself. I grew up in Puerto Rico during an era of big-time boxers, but no one in my family was a boxer. We were just fans, says the neuroscientist who now lives in Texas. Alvarez taught herself the fundamentals by watching videos, and when her passion followed her to college at New York University, she decided it was time to find a coach. I've trained in boxing ever since, she says. I'm going on 20 years now. When Alvarez moved to Dallas to begin her career and pursue her PhD, she realized she was craving deeper connections with her community and to her creative side. Then the pandemic sparked a new interest in making fitness accessible for everyone. In 2022, she combined all of these ideas and opened La Boree Boxing. My two requirements from the beginning were to lower the accessibility barriers, both geographically and financially, she says. It was very important to me that this was free to the students. Now double its original size, her nonprofit gym provides programming for middle and high school students in East Dallas, exposing them to the sport as well as to positive role models. As a kid, you can only know what you see, says Alvarez. Some of them might have never seen a Hispanic woman scientist or a black engineer. So we started workshops with people who look and sound like our students and can speak to how they got to where they are today. Being part of that representation, she leads by example. It's not every day you meet a neuroscientist who also boxes, but Alvarez is used to challenging expectations. People do view it as a juxtaposition. I totally understand it, she says. It's a sport that has a known risk, but there are a lot of benefits you can get from boxing without the contact that happens in the ring. These kids are in there getting healthier, relieving stress, and feeling strong in a safe place where everyone's welcome. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Not So Surface Level. There is no author listed for this. Despite the fact that it's one of the most common skin conditions worldwide, the impacts of psoriasis are not just skin deep. Psoriasis is due to chronic inflammation and inflammatory signals that circulate throughout the blood, says Dr. William Wang of the UNC School of Medicine. This can lead to psoriatic arthritis and other problems. Working with a trusted board-certified dermatologist can help a patient better understand their condition and determine the safest, most effective option. Although we don't have a, quote, cure, end quote, for psoriasis, our modern treatments can essentially clear a patient's skin, improve their quality of life, and do so in a safe way, he notes. End of story. Continuing on in the at-home section, I found an article named Coastal Retreat, Beautiful Spaces for Better Living, and this is entitled Edisto Treasure. Designer Taylor Hill revamps a South Carolina getaway with fresh paint, upbeat patterns, and well-loved hand-me-downs, written by Cameron Beale. Set on the sound with stacked porches and sweeping sunset views, this Edisto Island, South Carolina home easily drew in Maggie and George Bullwinkle. George grew up coming to Edisto, so his family is really ingrained here, says Maggie, who had never been to the small, old-school beach community before meeting her husband, but immediately fell in love with it. There's not much to do, so it gives us a place to focus on our family and just escape together. The couple bought their first house on the island in 2018, but with four children ages 8 to 15, a dog, and a revolving door of overnight visitors, they were looking for a home with more space and privacy for hosting multiple families. We wanted our kids to be able to bring friends to make it a little more appealing for them to get away for the weekend and to be able to have grandkids here down the road as well, says Maggie. Situated on the same street as their previous house, this spot, with its good bones and rooms flooded with natural light, checked all the boxes. And while you'll find the Bullwinkles and their extended family here over the 4th of July, they prefer visiting in the off-season. We love to go when it's quiet and we can have a fire and just relax together, says Maggie. During the summer, they rented out to guests, something they kept in mind when it came to refreshing the home. To help breathe new life into the getaway, they tapped Charleston designer Taylor Hill, with whom they'd previously collaborated. Keeping it simple and focusing on the common areas, they relied on budget and renter-friendly cosmetic updates, refinishing floors, adding fresh coats of paint, replacing lighting, and including unfussy furnishings. It really changed how the house felt, says Taylor. To accommodate sandy feet and wear and tear, she intentionally selected antique and thrifted pieces and leaned on durable materials, even down to the tables and floor lamps. If they get knocked over, they're less likely to be damaged because they're made of either wood or metal, she says. For the cheery color story, Taylor took inspiration from a vibrant Suzani textile that hangs in the foyer, filling the home with soft pinks, corals, and soothing blues. It has all these happy colors we really felt translated to the ease of summertime and the beach, and was really a springboard for the rest of the house, she says. Like many places on the island, this one came fully furnished, including years' worth of quintessential coastal knickknacks, like collected shells, maritime maps, sailboat figurines, beach reeds, and even pelican doorstops, which Taylor thoughtfully reincorporated. We didn't want it to seem too done because it's a disto. It's very laid back, says Maggie. We wanted it to feel like a family home, something that had been pieced together over time, so we tried to maintain as many of those little tchotchkes as possible in a refined way. The result is an inviting retreat that embraces imperfections and is always ready to host. Some additional notes on spaces in the home. A disto is a generational place, says Taylor. It's special to a small group of people, and that group of people will always go back. And then they give a, what follows next is a review of what they had done to decorate the place. And I will start with the foyer. Given that the entry hall opens directly into the main living spaces, the decor there, including the Etsy source textile that hangs above an antique console, sets the tone for the home's relaxed spirit and palette. It just feels good when you walk in, says Maggie. The dining room. Leaning into what was already there, Taylor centered the design around a heart pine table, delineating it from the adjacent living area with an indoor-outdoor Cecil rug. You have to have room for everybody to be able to eat together, says Maggie, about the spot, which holds anything from family dinners to rainy day puzzles and game nights. That's one of the fun parts of the vacation. Next is the kitchen. Maintaining the natural wood details, they splashed the cabinetry and island with Farrow and Ball's setting plaster number 231 and added ample seating and new light fixtures. Coupled with good decorating, lighting can truly transform a space, notes Taylor, who hung antique nautical pendants from Big Ship Salvage. In the living room, anchored by a melon-hued sofa, this area is practical and suited for easy gathering. With four kids, a dog, and it being a rental, we chose to skip precious finishes, says Taylor, who opted for performance fabrics for all the upholstery, patterned textiles for throw pillows and cushions, and well-loved furnishings to ensure livability. I prefer using antique dining, coffee, and drink tables with swatches, pocks, glass rings, and water spots because they only gain more character with use. End of story. Except we're going to go on to another one in the at-home section, and it's called Home School. Beach House Rules is the start. Turn on vacation mode with durable materials, weatherproof picks, and vibrant color combos. This was written by Betsy Watson, built for the beach. Invest in these essentials now to avoid headaches later. Hurricane-ready elements. Impact-rated windows and doors cost more up front, says Wilmington, North Carolina designer Liz Carroll, but they are worth every penny for peace of mind and long-term savings. Sturdy siding. It's important to use weather-resistant materials, which tend to be more expensive, for longevity in salty, humid air, she advises. Consider going with fiber cement siding, as it can withstand extreme temperatures and requires little upkeep. High-quality decking. Composite decking is resistant to moisture, rot, and fading, while teak and IPE have natural beauty and durability, says Carol. Sure things. Jacksonville, Florida designer Andrew Howard's go-to moves for outdoor spaces include the following. Spring for quality pieces. Powder-coated aluminum furniture is often pricey, but Howard swears by it. I know I'm never going to have to replace it, which is a good feeling, he explains. Faux wicker is another smart option. Curate a mix. Steer clear of matchy-matchy sets. It feels so much better when you don't get all the furniture from the same vendor, he notes. Be choosy with textiles. Don't assume that outdoor fabrics will do it all. Opt for choices that are labeled fade-resistant instead. They're typically hardier. Cool shades. Pairings that channel summer house nostalgia, when you're looking at shading, sky blue plus mellow yellow. Also, creamy white plus deep navy. Or you could go with shell pink plus soft green. Or sandy neutral plus sea blue. End of story. My final article for right now is The Cheap and Cheerful Dorm Room. Some great tips here. Designer Fran Keenan schools us in her small space do's and don'ts. This was written by Betty Watson. Decorating a college dorm room comes with a unique set of challenges. There are two things that are both true, says designer Fran Keenan. One is that it's a temporary space, but the other is that it should still be an extension of whoever is going to live there. Here's how she brought personality to her daughter Harper's white box room without breaking the bank. Move in made easy. Fran's tips for an efficient install. Strip it down. Save time and minimize trash on the big day by taking as many things as possible out of their packaging beforehand, from the mattress cover to the extension cords. Next, skip the boxes. Schlep everything in oversized totes. The designer prefers the IKEA ones, as they're easy to carry and allow more breathing room for soft goods like pillows. Number 3, stay organized. Store related items together for speedy setup. Stash lamp essentials like bulb, finial, and harp in a single bag that can be then secured to the base or shade. That way, it's all within reach when you unpack. Splurge on good bedding. Beside the fitted sheet, don't buy anything else in the twin XL size, advises the designer. Instead, invest in a queen flat sheet and duvet that can be used beyond the freshman dorm room. Going bigger looks better, too. If you elevate your bed at all, then the twin size linens look like a toupee, she says with a laugh. Save on the rug. It's going to receive all of the tough blows, whether from self-tanner, dirt on game day, or whatever else, says Fran, who sourced a more affordable Greek key option from rugs.com to ground the space in a cushy and durable layer of color. The English have a term, cheap and cheerful, and I think you've got to go cheap and cheery on the rug. End of story. My next couple of articles are for a time when you have a chance to relax, and the summertime is just for that. I've got a recipe for Texas toast, tomato pies, and big batch spiked Arnold Palmers that serves 12. So you can invite your friends over to snack with you. I'm going to start with Texas toast, tomato pies. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 35 minutes. It serves 4 to 6. You want 8 1.4-ounce frozen Texas toast slices, such as Pepperidge Farm, 3 heirloom tomatoes thinly sliced, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper, plus more for garnish, 1 5.3-ounce package garlic and herb spreadable cheese, such as Boursin, 3 tablespoons mayonnaise, 3/4 cups shredded sharp cheddar cheese, flaky sea salt, and chopped fresh chives. You want to preheat the oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Arrange the frozen toast slices in a single layer on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Pat tomato slices dry with paper towels. Sprinkle with kosher salt and black pepper. Stir together garlic and herb cheese and mayonnaise in a bowl until smooth. Spread each toast slice with mayonnaise mixture. Top with tomato slices. Sprinkle each with about 1.5 tablespoons of cheddar cheese. Bake until cheddar cheese is golden and bubbly about 15 minutes. Let cool 2 minutes. Sprinkle with flaky sea salt and more black pepper and garnish with chives. Sounds pretty simple. I think I'm even going to try this one. And next up, Big Batch Spiked Arnold Palmers. Now this does serve 12, so just saying. Active time, 10 minutes. Total time, 10 minutes, plus 2 hours for chilling. Stir together 6 cups of prepared unsweetened black tea, 4 cups of lemonade, 2 1/4 cups bourbon, and 2/3 cup simple syrup in a large pitcher. Add 24 lemon slices and chill until cold, at least 2 hours or up to 24 hours. Serve over ice and garnish with mint sprigs and more lemon slices. What a way to enjoy a lazy summer afternoon. End of story. My next article is entitled Southern Food Hall of Fame. We asked our readers to name their essentials, and these 50 products topped the list. This is written by Alana Al-Hatlani and Josh Miller. Southerners always seem to be thinking about good food. We dream about breakfast in our sleep. Then, while we fight over the last piece of bacon, we make a plan for lunch, during which the supper menu is proposed, debated, and ratified. From the jars, bottles, boxes, and bags that fill our fridges and pantries to the frosty contents of our coolers, each item is chosen with intention. Even road trip stops at gas stations turn into snack time free-for-alls, where everyone, regardless of age, rushes the aisles like they're on an episode of Supermarket Sweep, fueling up for the remainder of the journey. There's not enough paper and ink for us to do justice to every treasured bite and sip in the South, but after countless polls, tastings, arguments, and agreements, these are the 50 Southern-born foods and drinks we don't want you to miss. Flip through to spot your familiar favorites or find something new. So for the next 4 or 5 minutes, we're going to go through some of these, and I'm going to start with the big things. I thought that I wouldn't know everything on here, and I think I know more than I should. I'm going to start with red kidney beans, the dry ones, camellia. Oh, ready for all sorts of good stuff. They have Anson Mills, white cornmeal in a package, and Louisiana tea. We see that in the grocery stores. Old Bay seasoning. Holy cow. I know I have a whole bunch at my house, but I think I found my mother did too. And we're not from the South. Well, we're from Arizona, but that's still, it's not the South like the Southeastern United States. This next one is Cajun Country, 100% Louisiana, medium grain bread, Bush's Best Original Baked Beans, yum, home-cooked salted Virginia peanuts, they're hubs, Rotel, diced tomatoes and green chilies, Duke's Real Mayonnaise, and here we go, I can't read the whole thing, but sure something, S-C-H-E-R, pecans, roasted salted pecans, according to my brother who lived in Georgia. Makes me hungry looking at this. Camellia brand beans, New Orleans, Louisiana, the cornerstone of the best red beans and rice, made its debut in 1923 when Louisius Hamilton Hayward started selling dried beans in New Orleans' old French market. Today, the brand is helmed by Vince and Ken Hayward, who are the fourth generation to run this business. Old Bay Seasoning from Baltimore, Maryland, the exact blend of 18 herbs and spices that make up this seasoning might be a closely guarded secret, but what Southerners know for sure is that it's good on a lot more than just seafood. This mix was created by Gustav Brunn, a German Jewish immigrant in Baltimore, and was named for a passenger steamship company that traveled the Old Bay Line between Charm City and Norfolk, Virginia. Rotel from Elsa, Texas. This now ubiquitous queso dip add-in was born in 1943 at a canning plant in a tiny Rio Grande Valley town. It was Carl Rotel's brilliant idea to process tomatoes and green chilies together, calling this combo Rotel, a phonetic spelling of his last name. And the full name of that big bag of pecans? Schermer, S-C-H-E-R-M-E-R, pecans, from Thomasville, Georgia. Next week, I will bring up more of these items on our Southern Living magazine and see what you know about them, or are you using them at home? That's the end of my story. Thank you for listening to Southern Living Magazine on Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer broadcaster. Until next week, take care.